Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
R/ is a hilarious podcast where Dabney Bailey uses ridiculous voices and emotions to read aloud the week's craziest Reddit posts.
He reenacts various Reddit threads covering wild stories and secrets, petty revenge, relationships, and much more.
So if you're looking for a daily distraction and a laugh, check out R/ wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, I'm Paul Giamatti.
And I'm Stephen Asma.
Join us on the Chinwag Podcast every Wednesday, where we trade the banal and the boring for the super strange and bizarre.
They committed human sacrifice?
I did bring up human sacrifice, yes.
You sure did.
That just went by fast.
Gotta casually toss that out.
I would like to have an alien hatch its young inside.
Holy shit, really?
She saw world peace, and I saw demons coming out of the wall.
I will say that there was a green couch outside of the principal's office, and you sat on it if you had lice or if you got in trouble.
They wake you up from the goo pods to live in reality, and you're naked and screaming. It's like...
Follow us for free on Apple Podcasts and all major podcast platforms.
For more information, go to chinwagpod.fm.
And find enlightenment through our Instagram or TikTok at ChinwagPod or on Twitter at Chinwag_pod.
When you listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, you get a belly full of laughs and a head full of real information. Our gallimaufry of expert guests answer questions on stuff adults need to know. I have mold in my dwelling. What do I do? What's gerrymandering? What happens chemically when I fall in love? How do I handle a parent-teacher conference? What are microbes? Listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Solve problems, get laughs.
Yo, this movie, man.
Yeah, it's...
I hated this movie so much.
It just, it, like, this what I was... Do you understand what I was telling you now?
Yes, 100%.
Like, Maze, I told Zach earlier today, I said, at least, like, the one thing about Nick Cage movies, they're bad, but at least, like, they're structured like movies. Like, the people who make them know how to make a movie.
not a pretty good movie, but like a movie that has standard kind of like beats and stuff like this. And when you have movies like Theodore Rex, it's just like someone who doesn't know what the fuck they're doing. Like, not the writers, not the actors, not the director. Like, it's just fucking just all over the place.
I've skimmed through some of this oral history thing. Man, it is.
Oh, man. I purposely didn't want to look at it. I just wanted you guys to surprise me.
Yeah. I'll have Maze handle that part, but like that is, oh my God. I scanned through like the first section. I was like, Jesus Christ. This, the comments from this guy.
The off the camera antics of this film rival Battlefield Earth. I think it was Showgirls that they had to make because the company was losing so much money on the Treasure Island movie, right?
Oh, yeah. That sounds right to me.
Like all this stuff, more interesting than all these movies.
Right.
Also, Ike, it's on site, bro.
It is. I feel like we're parents right now, right? I feel like we're parents and we've given our children some leeway on making their own decisions, and they made a horrible decision right away, and I want to take their privileges away.
Like they got dressed like wearing rain boots and an apron.
Yeah, an apron and a Speedo or something like that. Like, I'm ready for school. I'm like, all right, kids, you can't dress yourself.
Here's my question. Do you think Ike actually saw this movie? I don't think he did. I think he just looked up the worst movie he could and said, go ahead and watch it, guys.
He was extremely passionate in the Discord about this film for a long time.
He's a terrorist. That's why. He's a cinephobe terrorist. Ike, that's your new label now. Put it in your profile, everything. You're a cinephobe terrorist.
Ike, September 18th, 2019. Theodore Rex, please.
September 18th?
Ike, September 28th. I need that Theodore Rex cinephobe, man.
What? He's trying to kill us.
Ike, December 18th, 2019. Did we ever do the T-Rex and Whoopi movie?
Wait, calling it the T-Rex and Whoopi movie is funnier.
Ike, January 1st, 2020. I'm here for the review of Theodore Rex. Terrorist.
I have yet to laugh in this movie. I'll just tell you that.
You picked it, motherfucker. Just remember that.
You know the problem with Hollywood is? They make shit. Unbelievable. Unremarkable shit.
So I was legitimately offended.
You were offended?
I was offended.
I didn't know you could get offended.
I was offended.
This did it.
If I were gay, I wouldn't be offended.
They're fucking making shit up, I mean!
Inconsequential detail after inconsequential detail after inconsequential detail.
Bees don't lie.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm holding a mic in my hands and now I'm talking all over.
Welcome to Cinephobe, the podcast where we break down the movies that we hate. Hold on, I'm back. That we absolutely hate. Okay? I'm Zach Harper. I'm joined by Amin El-Hassan, Anthony Mays, producing the show. This week on Cinephobe, you sons of bitches, we gave the power to the Discord to suggest movies. And one of them that came out was the 1995 crime comedy. Crimedy? Is that what we're calling this?
It's a crime, all right.
It is a crime.
It's a dinocide.
Oh, boy. Theodore Rex. Now, maybe you're wondering what Theodore Rex is. Well, it stars Whoopi Goldberg, who was coming off of Sister Act 2 in 1993, Corinna in 1994, and was about to be in Boys in the Side on 1995 and Eddie in 1996. I will remind you that this movie, Theodore Rex, was 4 years after she won the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress in a Movie.
That's not how your career is supposed to go.
No. It also stars Juliet Landau, who was in Ed Wood. She's the daughter of Martin Landau. Also some guy named Armin Mueller-Stahl, who was in Eastern Promises. Of course, Richard Roundtree plays the commissioner. You know him as Shaft.
Yeah.
Carol Kane does the voice work for Molly Rex, and George Newbern
does the voice for Theodore Rex. He's in the Father of the Bride movies. He's also on that TV show Scandal.
Who is he in Father of the Bride?
He's the husband or the guy she's marrying.
Oh, the groom?
Yeah, the groom. Theodore Rex was written and directed by Jonathan Batuul.
Tool, emphasis on Tool.
He's also done a couple of episodes of a Freddy Krueger television show from the late 80s.
No,
and a movie from 1985 called My Science Project. This is the last thing he's ever credited with doing.
He wrote The Last Starfighter, which
he wrote The Last Starfighter, good.
And then he wrote and directed this My Science Project movie, which just looks like a weird science clone that failed. And then, yes, ended his career.
So the synopsis for Theodore Rex. In an alternate futuristic society, a tough female police detective is paired with a talking dinosaur to find the killer of dinosaurs and other prehistoric animals, leading them to a mad scientist bent on creating a new Armageddon.
I will just let you guys know right now. I did not finish the movie. I tried to watch it twice. Both times I fell asleep. But the second time, I actually got pretty deep into it,
okay,
up until the point where he's revealing his fiendish plan, but I wasn't paying attention, so I did not understand what his fiendish plan was.
Okay. Tagline for this movie: the world's toughest cop is getting a brand new partner. He's a real blast from the past. There are two other taglines for this one. The latest cop team has four legs, a tail, and a million years in attitude. That was on the VH cover of the UK version. And then the other one, and don't even think of calling him Barney.
Oh my God. This, you know what, that's right up there with when Hellboy the reboot came out last year, like a week before Endgame, and they're like, "Avenge this" was their tagline.
Right.
Relax, motherfuckers. Sit your ass down.
This one had a $33.5 million budget.
It showed.
Originally intended for a theatrical release, but it tested so poorly it went straight to video, making it for a long time the most expensive straight-to-video movie of all.
It shows.
Before you jump into this movie and this podcast, Theodore Rex can be found on YouTube. Don't pay for this. We almost bought physical copies.
Yeah. There's, of which there are only 20 remaining.
There are only 20 left on Amazon. So, Theodore Rex... Theodore Rex receives a 0% from critics on 5 reviews. 5.
Yeah.
And 19% from the audience on over 3,300 ratings. So 4 of the 5 reviews from critics did not have a synopsis or anything. It was just a score of 0 out of 5. Nice. So the one that did is Tim Brayton of Alternate Ending. So what of this Shame of New Line, the film that seemed like a no-win disaster to the star of Eddie and Made in America? It's pretty much exactly that bad. That's really good writing at all.
Yeah.
But we do have some user reviews. I mean,
okay,
we're just going to have one review. So would you like the negative or the positive user reviews?
I'm curious about the positive. So let's start with the negative.
Okay.
The positive is going to be pretty hilarious, I have a feeling.
Joseph S. Oh, God, Whoopi, what happened?
Yeah. Yes. I felt the same way.
JK. Oh, yes, this film served as a valuable audition for Whoopi for her present gig on The View. What better way to deal with a room full of squawking idiots than dealing for 2.5 hours with a squawking idiot dinosaur? Whoopi was born for this role.
I like that.
Ben B. What unholy god would unleash such wrath on the world? George M. I gave it 5% because I think a 6-year-old kid might like it. This is really, really bad. What can you say about a dinosaur character from a failed 1990s TV series and Whoopi as buddy cops? Whoopi's acting is robotic, not intentionally, and she is squeezed into a skin-tight uniform that is just scary.
Yes, I was disturbed by that.
Like, they are buddy cops, and T-Rex is a mess-up. Whoopi is the serious cop, and she delivers lines to T-Rex like, "Get your tail down here."
Yeah.
He really has a tail. There is nothing to recommend it. It is right up there with any of the worst movies of all time. The only thing that saves it, I seriously think a 6-year-old would like it, but this 1996 movie, since then, we've had great kids' movies with fantastic animation. This looks very dated and sad. Of course, this was made by adults for adults. Now, that is funny.
That's my thing. This is not appropriate for children.
Sage D. OMG, I used to love this movie when I was little. Ha ha, but the other day I rented it and this movie was really retarded. I came really close to finishing it, but it was just so stupid. Now, I don't feel great about reading that word, but I felt like the shock value was perfect.
Ben Affleck really didn't like it.
That's a good callback. All right, and then Sarah H. with the last negative one. Gotta love 1980s movies, right? Cheesy as hell, but who cared? It does have a good message for the kiddies watching, although I didn't think they disguised that as well as they could have. It kind of felt like they were shoving that in my face.
What was the message?
I don't know, but they were shoving it in her face.
It's the only thing they shoved in her face.
Oh, boy.
It's the best 1980s movie released in 1995.
Right. All right.
It's cocaine. What are you talking about?
Positive reviews. Jody B. gave it 3 out of 5 stars. Okay. I remember this as a little girl and loved it. Showed my daughter clips of it, and she is obsessed with dinosaurs.
Jody B. should not be allowed to procreate.
Danielle B. gave it 5 out of 5 stars. Many people may not like this movie, but personally, I really, really enjoyed it. It has action, comedy, suspense, and romance. It had just the right touch of silliness, not to be taken too seriously, but enough of a plot to not lose you in the story. That's a bot, my friend. That's 100% a bot. This is a positive review, I guess. Last one. Matthew M. gave it 5 out of 5 stars. $33 million makes for sets that I guess had a lot of budget. I mean, I felt like this film was not worth that much seeing it, and I had no idea what to expect. I just saw a dinosaur and Whoopi Goldberg together and knew it was something to see. Theodore Rex is so annoying, and he just talks to himself throughout the movie. Hitting things with his tail is the only thing he's good for. He has, like, no facial expression, is always being clumsy. Whoopi Goldberg has no desire, and you can tell she thinks this is a stupid movie through her acting. I mean, OMG, this is one of those movies you wonder how it was able to get off the ground. A humanoid dinosaur that likes cookies, has a pet dog, and likes another atrocious-looking dinosaur that is so bad it's laughable. I don't know. It was so painful to watch because I felt bad for the guy who had to walk in that costume. It looked so uncomfortable, and Rex could barely walk, let alone run. I have a feeling Matthew M. meant to give it 1 out of 5 stars.
Yeah, like that's yo. By the way, he doesn't like cookies. He's
horny for cookies.
Yes, yes. Like at least Cookie Monster is just like a drug addict for cookies. Like this dude gets his rocks off for cookies.
This movie is 50% better with the Cookie Monster instead of Teddy Rex.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, 50%. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a movie I would actually watch. The Cookie Monster as a cop. I'd watch that. Should we get into the horrible thing of this movie? We start off with a credit that says, Once Upon a Time in the Future. This is where I tried to watch it last night, Maze. And as soon as I saw that opening little sentence, I turned the movie off and said, I'll just watch it tomorrow. I like that was enough where I was like, I'm not in the mood for this.
It spoils the whole plot. It gives it to you right there. You didn't need to watch the rest.
My opening note was this thing has 46,000 views on YouTube. 46,000. How?
That other link that May sent has 15,000 plus views. So we're looking at, you know, clearing 60,000 easy.
Yeah. Archive.org. Higher quality.
The quality was excellent, actually. That was pretty impressive.
I was trying to watch it on my TV, YouTube app, and it was so blurry that I turned it off and I just used the archive one on the computer. Yeah. And yeah. I realized it was going to be a bad experience no matter how I watched it. It didn't matter. So it continues with a scroll. At midnight tomorrow, billionaire Eleazar Kane will launch his new Eden missile to bring on another ice age. After mankind is extinct, Kane will reanimate the pairs of all Earth's animals he kept frozen in his ark and create his vision of paradise. 1 hour ago, two workers escaped from the New Eden compound and are racing to tell the police about Kane's master plan. But then that's not what we go to, right?
No. Yeah, like that's like it. Yes, this is what I mean by people not knowing what they're doing when they're making a movie. Because right. You have that intro, and then the intro had nothing to do with what was happening in the movie.
Yeah, we get into like – it's like a gray – it almost looks like the opening of a horror movie, like from like the 60s.
Yes, yes. Black and white.
Yeah, black and white for no reason.
I thought there was something wrong with – until I went and went back to the YouTube version again and realized, no, it's in black and white.
Right. it's just in black and white. And so there's a long haired dude who like gives a butterfly to a dinosaur and it explodes in his face. That's not a euphemism. It legitimately explodes in his face. And then another dinosaur wakes up. We find out that's Teddy Rex. He's got like human qualities. He's got a dog.
Nice apartment.
Teddy calls the police.
Wait, a nice apartment that's decorated like it was decorated for a child. Like toys and stuff. He showers, but when he's in the shower, his tail is sticking out. And so I said, does he not wash his tail? Is he the Waz of dinosaurs? Because if you don't know, if you don't listen to Bomb, Waz revealed that he does not scrub his calves.
You know what's awful? Is yesterday, when I was washing my legs, I thought of Waz. That shouldn't be the case.
Every time. Every single time I'm in the shower. When I get ready to scrub my calves, I'm like, Waz never does this.
So Teddy calls the police, finds out there was a murder that he's going to go investigate. He gets ready, does lots of stuff humans do. As you mentioned, he takes a shower but doesn't wash his tail. He
doesn't brush his teeth.
Doesn't brush his teeth. He has shoes in a dresser drawer.
Wait, hold on. Let me clarify. They didn't show him brushing his teeth. He legitimately grabs a toothbrush, looks at himself in the mirror, blows, sniffs, and says, I don't need this.
Well, he's constantly, as the review mentioned, he's constantly talking to himself, which I started psychoanalyzing.
Narrates everything.
Yeah, I said, I think he is drenched in insecurity. Like, that's why he's talking to himself. He is drenched in insecurity, dude, just saturated with it.
There's a scene later where she says, all right, I'm going to ring this bell. And as soon as he says it, he says, all right, ring the bell. Go ahead. Everything has a fucking running commentary with it.
Right.
Everything.
But it's not exposition.
No.
It's him almost reading the script.
Just keep going.
Okay. He looks at a Dino Detective poster and says, Dreamer. Then he's leaving his apartment. He has something called a cookie shooter. It shoots a cookie into his hands.
Voice activated.
His tail is always in the way, knocking stuff. I said he moves around like Madea. he has a tail compartment for his golf cart / car.
His car is like a Hollywood tour, like a Hollywood Boulevard tour bus.
Right.
You know, like, not the ones where like the double deckers, but the ones where it's kind of got like the seats are back to back. Hard to explain, but if you've
it's almost on, it's almost like those vans that they take the roofs off of, right?
Yes. With the plastic seats.
The city kind of looks CGI'd as they go through it.
There's a billboard that says the future is now, and the entire city is dinosaur themed. It really looks like Joel Silver's Batman.
That's a good call. Is this where the budget went? Yeah, Batman and Robin.
Very neon colors. And very kind of everything is kind of, I don't know. It makes me so angry thinking about this.
Whoopi Goldberg is on a rooftop somewhere. They're talking about some kind of technological thing. I don't know. And then they harpoon and zipline down to a truck.
So I think what they're talking about here, which is never really totally explained throughout the length of the movie.
Nothing's explained.
I think Whoopi Goldberg is a robot.
She is a robot. That does get explained later.
They make kind of weird jokes about her being programming or something like that. And you're like, what? Apparently she's a robot.
Someone on rollerblades gets gunned down. Whoopi and her partner jump on a truck and they crash through it. There's a shootout in the back of the truck. Whoopi falls out attached to a table, shoots herself free. The truck drives towards a sign that literally just says danger with arrows pointing somewhere. Crashes into some water barrels. Whoopi and her partner argue about who had the front and who had the back of the truck. The truck explodes. Bad guys get away. The rollerblader who had been captured is lying dead on the ground. They scan him to figure out who he is, and he doesn't exist.
He's a John Doe.
This is an Academy Award winner, guys. Like, not future. At the time, current. This is what Whoopi was doing. It angers me. It's a little different, but I'm more offended by this than I am about the Made in America publicity stunt where Ted Danson's in blackface.
It's a baffling role. I've never seen Whoopi try to be an action star or attractive in a movie ever. ever again, ever before.
Yeah, and it's just like, you can tell, like the other review said, she's going through the motions.
Right, and there's a lot more that we'll talk about in terms of that later.
So now we've got a dead dinosaur. Teddy is investigating it, sort of. He tries to explain that all dinos feel for each other. One of the truck thug guys brings a necklace to the long-haired guy, explains that the cops have the body of the guy that they stole it from. Now Teddy's going to an event to meet the commissioner, and the tail gag really going.
So before we get to the event, there's a couple of notes. There's someone drops a line, are you collecting for the policeman's ball? Which was just a very lame thing. There's a dude, one of the henchmen, the guy with the monocle.
Yeah.
I said, characters that have stupid-ass voices make me infinitely less likely to want to watch a movie.
Yes.
Like, I, at that moment, I was ready to turn it off. I'm like, I'm not going to sit here and listen to this guy. Like, this is the reason why I don't like Adam Sandler movies. Because 90% of them feature him talking in a stupid-ass voice. I can't do it with stupid-ass voices. And then the last thing I said was, what the hell? So regular animals are extinct, but dinosaurs are chilling? And we'd find out in this next scene why. And so he goes to an event. The event looks like, if you've ever been to the Museum of Natural History in New York City, with the place where they have the life-size dioramas or whatever you want to call it, right? Like, it's like, you know.
Like a giant grizzly bear is there.
Yeah.
You have cave people and all that.
And they're all like in these little cases in on the walls or whatever.
Like this hallway, right.
Yeah. But when he walks in, there's a maitre d'. He calls the maitre d' Frenchie, but the guy doesn't have a French accent.
Right.
And I was just like, I was so confused by that. And then the event that the commissioner of the police force, that is honoring this dude who I guess is a great scientist who made the technology that allowed them to bring dinosaurs back to life, which again, I don't know why the dinosaurs were brought to life to begin with. And if you do, why do they come back?
Humanoid?
Yeah, humanoid, anthropomorphic. Like, and not just humanoid, but like, you know.
Shrunken, and he's a T-Rex who eats vegetables.
And wears sneakers and showers and, you know, and likes cookies and all that stuff. This event is honoring this dude. And before he's honored, like, he meets with the commissioner and says, hey, how's it going? Points to Martin Landau's daughter, says, this is my doctor, my personal doctor. And I'm like, that's a kind of weird person to bring as a plus one, but okay, to each his own. Maybe he's sick and, you know, doctor's gotta be there at all times. But then the doctor intros him as he gets up and accepts his award. I'm like, why is the doctor the one that said, ladies and gentlemen, put it together? Like, they couldn't figure out a better profession for this woman to have other than doctor?
Yeah, I said that's one way to put it. Escort. He's my personal doctor.
Yeah,
I mean, she makes me feel so good. So good.
Yeah, I don't know. Whoopi meets this kid who's like 9 years old, I don't know, who's at work at a counter.
This child actor is one of the worst in the game.
Elephants, lions, whales, now raccoons. Katie, what's happening to the world?
I said, I put down, he looks like Morris Chestnut as a child. If I didn't know that Morris Chestnut was always a grown man in 1996, I would have thought that was Morris Chestnut. Child actor.
He only had two more roles after this. There was a TV movie called Shadow Zone and the movie The Arrival with Charlie Sheen.
Ought have been called The Departure of his career from Hollywood.
I don't even know where we are. So we find out that there are certain animals that are extinct, like raccoons and whales and stuff, right?
Yeah, so this guy, Kane, is not only responsible for bringing back the dinosaurs, he's randomly bringing back various extinct creatures. We also know, because of the crawl, which would have been nice to maybe explain what the hell Teddy's doing, we know that he's got this plot already, so we know he's the bad guy.
Yeah, they should. They spoil the movie in the first.
Yes.
Like, it would be like an Empire Strikes Back is like, oh, the resistance, you know, the rebellion is there. And by the way, Darth is Luke's father. Like, that's...
But he doesn't know it yet.
He doesn't know it yet. Yeah, exactly. Like, don't tell him, you know? Like, that's what this is. I also have a note here that says, Whoopi is dressed like Judge Dredd.
Oh, wow.
No, that's no good? I was pretty proud of that one. That was my favorite note I had. Okay, the kid wants to meet up tomorrow. She says she'll try. Richard Roundtree is here. He's the commissioner. I just wrote, I hope the check cleared.
Oh, Teddy, he's hard up. He needs money.
Teddy's got a lot of tail gags. He's knocking stuff over. He gets a man slapped for his tail tapping a woman's ass. But then he taps the commissioner on the shoulder to get his attention, which means he turns around to do that? I don't understand that behavior.
There's so much problematic logistics because of the size of the dinosaur and his tail and how they had to block this movie. it's awful. And then he taps the commissioner on the shoulder with the tail, meaning that he has control of it. But then the whole gag is that the rest of the movie, he just has no control of it.
Or he's just an asshole who doesn't care.
As the movie goes on, I begin to realize he's not like oblivious. He's just a dick.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. So now we meet Mr. Kane. We find out he's responsible for Teddy being around. He calls Teddy his finest accomplishment. Teddy calls the murder of the dinosaur dinocide, which Amin prepared me for this morning as we were leaving radio. He says, they commit dinocide. By the way, that's something they actually say in it, and then the elevator closed on Amin as I walked to my car, and I thought, that it can't be that bad. And then once this line is delivered where he says dinosaur, I was like, Amin undersold how shitty this is.
And this is the first attempt of them to create a whole new vocabulary for this world.
Yeah. And it's just stop. It's.
Oh my God. By the way, there's some vocabulary in this movie.
Oh, there is. Mostly regarding farts.
Yeah, no. Butt trumpet.
Also, no, I think they say pop gas at one point. Yeah. I didn't pop gas.
There's a term that they keep using. It's like something hormonal. Like, oh, you're acting glandular or something like that. Every time, basically, the dude is acting horny.
Yeah, glando. Glando Calrissian.
All right. Teddy finds some free cookies. He basically just orgasms over free cookies. And I said, I guess dinosaurs would love cookies since they never knew about them.
What's with the cookies?
I have six of these. Cheers.
And some more cookies. Oh, Teddy. Huh?
So blonde Tim Robbins convinces the commissioner to make Teddy a detective.
I thought it was Tim Robbins, to be honest. I was like, is it?
But they're giving him a partner, Katie Coltrane, and then blonde Tim Robbins and the commissioner harmonize.
Oh, Teddy! That's right. That's what it is.
That's what it is. All right. So they decide that they're going to make him the first dino detective as a publicity stunt. He celebrates. He says, I need to call my mom, but I don't have a mom. That's a lie.
Is that what he says?
Yeah.
I thought he said, I don't have her number.
No, he said, I think he says, I don't have a mom.
Wow.
That got dark.
He does a lot of that shit, like talking under his breath.
No, he's just so insecure. Like, it drives me insane. Like, he's so nervous and insecure. I'm like, man, you're just like anxiety. He's the definition of anxiety. Like,
yo,
fucking smoke some weed or something. Like, I'm so sick of his attitude.
Midway through the movie, I figured out who Teddy reminds me of. The dude who plays Larry David's cousin on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Richard Kind?
Yes, he was the voice of the dinosaur in Toy Story.
Yep.
And he was on Spin City. He looks and sounds like that dude.
There's this weird misdirect where a jacked white dude smoking a cigar appears to be Coltrane.
It's like holding like a shotgun or something, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Whoopi knocks him out the way, and it's surprise. It's Whoopi who's Coltrane. And Teddy says, what? Proving that even a reanimated dinosaur can still be a racist misogynist. He was so, like, shocked and thrown out. I'm like, this fucking asshole, you're a dinosaur. What do you know about, like, gender or race politics?
and the whole time, they're, like, telling her she's pairing up, she just repeats, he's a dinosaur. Like five times.
And then, they call her a speciesist. I'm like, you didn't say shit when this nigga right here said, what? disbelief. She says he's a dinosaur. At least he just called out what he is. And all of a sudden, like, everyone's like, ooh, Whoopi.
We find out that blonde Tim Robbins is working with Kane to set up what I wrote was some storyline that doesn't seem to matter. I don't know. He believes Teddy and Whoopi will blow the case. The long-haired guy is Kane's driver. Apparently the henchmen are clones, we find out. And then I wrote the note, guys, I'm not sure we can trust Discord ever again.
You know how I feel about failure. It reeks of imperfection.
That's not good writing. That's not good writing. It's, oh my God. It's a lot of physical comedy that isn't funny. They go to the Natural History Museum or something to go find the autopsy of the dead dinosaur. He says he feels his ancestors around the fossils. And he then calls humans soft skin.
First of all, when they walk in, the medical examiner says, I haven't had a chance to look at the body yet. And by the way, she's a terrible actress. Like, she delivers that line so bad. But that's not the part that perturbed me. What perturbed me is when they walk in, she's clearly sitting and chilling, like reading or something. Like, she's just, like, not doing shit. And then walk in, dinosaur died because something exploded next to its snout. But I haven't even had a chance to look at the body. Like, what the fuck you been doing? You just sitting around chilling. Get to work, you lazy bitch. And then Teddy says, can I have a look? And I write, is he orgasming on the dead body? Because he just starts grinding on it. I'm like, what is going on here? It sounds like Lex Steel. That's a porn star, by the way, for those who don't know. Porn star known for his very dramatic.
Very vocal, right.
Yeah, dramatic theatrical orgasm.
So is soft skin better than man animals?
Ooh. I like man animals better because
you like the way Travolta says it.
Soft skin is racist. Is man animals racist?
Is soft skin racist?
Soft skins is racist. It felt pretty racist to me.
Just because he was saying it to Whoopi?
there's your laugh, Zach. Got me on that one. No, I like man animals better because of the way he's, because man animals, it's delivered,
right?
It's not just a ridiculous phrase, it's also delivered with some pizzazz.
Well, now, I mean, that's not fair. That's Travolta
versus the groom from Father of the Bride.
Teddy wants to examine the dinosaur, as you say, makes awful noises. He pulls evidence of the explosion, gives it to the technician, scans the dino's dead tail,
and finds out. Facts.
Right.
Holofax.
Right. Whatever.
Which is, I love like futuristic bullshit technology.
Finds out the dinosaur lived with Molly Rex, who's a singer from a club called the Species Club. Is that what that thing was called?
Extinct Species Club. It's like the Buena Vista Social Club.
They really, really stretched to come up with a witty name for this club.
Right. And I can't stress enough, the dinosaur work here in this club scene is horrendous. It makes Chuck E. Cheese look so lifelike. It's just terrible. Like, I don't know. We find out everything at the club is natural and good for you. Whoopi wants to know why they're not eating meat. Teddy takes exception at how Whoopi criticizes their eating habits. He really starts to fly off the handle, to which I think, I'm not making light of this. Like, I do think Teddy would hit women.
Okay, first of all, my note on that is he on coke? Because they're having a conversation.
Especially when Molly comes out and she's singing.
No, before we get to that, like when they're having that conversation, at one point he just flies off the handle and says, are you listening to me? I'm like, yo, that is cokehead tendencies right there, man. Like, he is seriously snorting up some good shit. Meanwhile, there's a dinosaur at another table who, again, my note is this dinosaur climaxing at her? Because his eyes are doing the half-open thing. And he's making these weird noises, and his tongue is out, and his eyelid is fluttering.
Right.
And this is an orgasm that's happening. And then Teddy said, oh, he likes you. That's just Carl or whatever his name is.
So they're walking through, and they're like humans dancing with dinosaurs, to which my note is, am I to believe that there are women fucking dinosaurs in this world?
Yes, because he tells us that Carl likes soft skins. Like, he's into that shit, like, as a fetish. And when Molly Rex comes out, the two guys that are, like, helping her are two shirtless dudes. It kind of reminded me a little bit of – this is funny. I love when I'm watching a really terrible movie. And somehow, some way, it reminded me of something legitimate. It reminded me of the club in True Blood, Fantasia, remember?
I've never seen True Blood. I've seen one episode.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I've seen 10 minutes of one episode. It freaked me out and I couldn't watch it. It was like some virgin vampire had sex, but then I found out like every time she had sex, like her hymen broke. I was like, all right, I don't want to watch this.
But Maze, you know what I'm talking about. Remember like Fantasia, there were like humans that worked there. So the idea of True Blood, if you haven't watched it, is that it's a world where vampires have come out the closet and it's just regular vampires everywhere. But for the most part, there's like a general acceptance that they won't feed on people without their consent. And so they all drink some synthesized blood thing called True Blood or whatever. But anyways, as they're out in the open now, they start to have their own kind of establishments. And there's a club called Fantasia. That's where all the vampires hang out. But it's kind of like got the vibe of a gay bar where it's like there are non-vampires that go there because they're trying to get picked up by vampires. It was the same thing here. And again, this is so, I feel so bad that I actually gave an actual comparison for this movie. But the Extinct Species Club has humans in there, and I felt the vibe of it's a little bit of a fetishization thing.
But do they have dicks? Or are dinosaurs? They fucking with a tail? That's do a dinosaurs question. Have dicks?
I don't think so, right? But see, like...
And then how are they fertilizing eggs?
Well, I heard birds have dicks, and I've never seen a bird dick.
Birds have dicks?
How else are they...
Like, well, I know a duck has a corkscrew dick.
So, I've never seen a duck's dick.
Right. I haven't either. I've just read that they have a corkscrew dick.
Yo, you sounded so defensive. I read that. I certainly haven't done things with a duck in exchange for my rank and pay.
All right. Molly comes out to perform. I wrote, I hate this movie so much. We're only a third of the way through it. But then I wrote, Maze, you got to cut in the noises that, I mean, alluded to this, the noises he makes when Molly is singing. And I wrote, it sounds like he dino-jaculated.
I'm no angel. I'll take your blues. Stomp down your troubles. Rock you with the steady bow. Here's your connection. Tomorrow fiction. You're my new ace in the hole.
Ugly dinosaur hits on Whoopi and she makes fun of him. Was this her like riffing in this movie?
Ugly dinosaur, by the way. To say ugly dinosaur, did any of them look attractive?
Teddy gives Molly some flowers. I wrote, this is not proper police behavior. Molly also got the flash from the dead dinosaur. Find out there's going to be a funeral, but Whoopi is suspicious. I wrote, Teddy is a hornball. Clones are following Teddy. He's giving exposition on what he has on his list and notices the clones following him. Whoopi is getting the dead clone checked out. His DNA has been cracked.
Couple of things here.
It's a lot of rollerblading in this movie, too.
Yes, a lot. It was 1996, so rollerblading was peak.
Right, peak, and they thought this was the future.
Yeah. He talks like he's mid-jerk off at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Like the way he delivers, I'm like, bro, take a deep breath. It's all right.
Just rub it out. One or the other, like get it over with.
The street he's driving down is called Historic Place. And I said, which is better than Extinct Species Club, I guess. And then finally, I made this observation. As I was watching this for the second time. They really didn't give a fuck about matching the mouth movements to the words being said.
Oh, at all.
At all.
You know who does a much better job of that than what this movie did? Milo the Cat.
Yes. Yes, on Instagram.
Yeah. Way better attempts than what this movie does. Where the fuck are we? Clones are following. Whoopi cracks the code. The clones are attacking Teddy's car. They pull it apart when he drives it. We find out that New Eden is bringing all this together. Whoopi believes Kane is involved. She wants to know where Teddy's gun is. He said he doesn't believe in violence. She asks, why doesn't he believe in violence, but he wants to be a cop? To which I wrote, message? Is that a commentary on the police? Maybe that's the message, Amin. That's the message that commenter wrote.
Yeah, if she's a MAGA supporter, it would make sense.
The long-haired dude does attack some of the clones or something who attack Teddy's car. Teddy is a laughingstock because of his car. The commissioner wants to yell at them over the car. Whoopi says, you can't judge a dino by his scales. Then we get more jokes about Teddy having horrible breath.
I wrote, what the fuck is going on in this scene? Where she goes from like shitting on him to defending him out of the blue. And the commissioner's like, what? And she's like, I don't know. Like,
yeah. It's like Richard Roundtree was like, wait, is this part of the script? And she's like,
yeah, man. Yeah, that's exactly what it felt like.
There's a machine to change Teddy's look.
What the fuck happens in this scene, dude?
There's an opera singer. There's a racist depiction of Mexicans.
Problematic.
There's a hula dancer and an offensive depiction of Hawaiians. There's the same thing with Scottish people. And then he ends up in jeans and a hoodie. And he says, I'm too sexy for my clothes, to which I wrote sick Right Said Fred reference 4 years after that song came out.
At least. Also, what kind of technology is this?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
And he's supposed to be undercover, but he's a fucking dinosaur.
Right. Right. What is he undercover from?
And Whoopi doesn't change her outfit.
She's never undercover.
Okay, so this is... There's a
fucking
scene
trench coat on her.
Hold on. There's a scene that's coming up that I'm literally completely tore apart over this concept of undercover cops.
All right, they've been assigned a garbage truck.
Teddy says it smells like cheese, fish, and boogers.
Sure. They meet the kid, Sebastian, who I forgot existed until this scene popped back up.
And he's just with a bunch of, like, tribal street youth playing roller hockey at an auto salvage yard. Was this a deleted scene from Hook?
He gives her a badge case because she's back or some bullshit. I don't know. Then Teddy plays roller hockey and is good. We're halfway through this movie.
He plays roller hockey and he's good.
Yeah, that's the note. He hits three balls at once. They all score. So either he's good or Sebastian fucking sucks at being a goalie.
Sebastian sucks dick because
you could stop one of them. Yeah.
When you get confused by you have literally three times as
honestly,
as many chances.
I mean, that felt racist. The black kid can't play roller hockey.
He has the roll. All you have is fucking stop the ball, man.
All right, they go to New Eden. They question Kane about the dead clone. I just don't understand the storyline. Whoopi believes their connection. Kane calls his death tragic.
Kane says, I feel responsible for his death because I'm the one who brought the dinosaurs back. What the fuck? Like, what does that mean? Like, it's just such a meaningless statement.
Right. I mean, it's a meaningless movie.
Yeah.
It's all right. They kidnapped the kid through some video game machine that they set up.
Oh, and the guy with the annoying voice. They bring him back to the long-haired dude. I don't know anyone's name, by the way. That's what I realized.
Well, I found out later his name is Edge.
Yeah, long-haired dude is named Edge, and the weird eye dude is named Spinner.
Okay, so
isn't that like a sex thing?
Well, watch this. So the clones wheel up this entire arcade video game box, open it up and say, look what we got, boss. And they pull out the kid and he's like, let go of me. And literally after he comes out the box, fucking Spinner comes up right in. So he was in the box with him. Why? I don't know.
I'll tell you why. He's a pedophile.
Exactly. Precisely.
In this scene with Kane, though, this is when I think that this actor, Armin Mueller-Stahl, he secured the title of worst actor in this movie.
I don't understand his accent. Is that a real accent?
He's German, I guess. So I don't, I mean, he definitely wasn't trying very hard to do anything, but there's this weird long pause where he goes, nice to meet you, even though he's already met Teddy before.
What you couldn't hear off camera was line.
And then he does his like Mr. Freeze thing when he's freezing the orb full of fish. And
great call. It is very much a Mr. Freeze vibe without the puns.
Telling you, Joel Silver scrubbed his name from this movie.
or he ripped these motherfuckers off. He watched this movie and inspired.
Wait a goddamn minute. I mean, you think Joel Silver watched Theodore Rex and then decided, I'm going to apply this shit to Batman and Robin?
Absolutely. I think he watched it and said, they did it wrong. This could have been, they got some things here, but they did it wrong. This is how you do it right.
I'm borderline offended at the accusation.
Dude, have you seen Batman and Robin? That was the worst one.
Future Cinephobe. Is that worse than Batman Forever?
Yes, Batman Forever was the one that was good because Jim Carrey did a good job.
He is actually good in that. Tommy Lee Jones is horrendous in that movie.
Well, as we know, Harvey Dent was originally Lando Calrissian.
Glando?
Yeah, man. Like Billy Dee Williams was Harvey Dent. Then when Joel Schumacher took over, he's like, a black Harvey Dent? that was the end of that.
We're at the dino funeral now. We find out that the dinosaurs get liquefied to fertilize the flowers so guests can take them home. Kane says he'll find the murderer of Oliver, who's the dead dinosaur.
And then he, can't pronounce the word children.
My children. I am to blame for Oliver's murder. Because it was I who brought dinosaurs back to life. But I give you my solemn oath, we'll find who is responsible for this.
Yeah.
A better world is coming.
Whoopi follows Kane out of the funeral. Molly asks Teddy to walk her home. Then we go to the kid being kidnapped, to which says to Kane, stuff it, pant load, to which I asked, does this guy have a boner?
Pant load. I mean,
why would you call him pant load?
Because there's a lot of innuendo in this movie. A lot of innuendo. But speaking of Teddy, this is where I wrote Dirty Mac Hall of Famer. He picked her up from her husband's funeral.
Yeah.
And supposed to walk her home. Instead, without any explanation, he walks her to his house.
That I didn't understand.
And says, what do you know? As he's narrating everything under his breath, he says, what do you know? My house. I'm like, what? This floozy walks right into the elevator like, let's go. So they go upstairs, and she's like, we can have some cookies. And again, he fucking splooges all over himself over cookies. And I said, are cookies code for pussy or cocaine or both?
Are these dinosaurs about to fuck?
They go upstairs, and she's like, look at us, like, oh, nice place, even though it's decorated, like I said, for a kid. And he says, he's doing the thing. He's talking. I can't.
He's talking the whole time. He just doesn't shut up.
He's talking. He says, want to see my card collection? And I say, this is why you get no pussy, my dude. No pussy. Trying to show him your car collection, man. that's just how this shit works. So then they start dancing. And while they're dancing, he's making all of these erotic noises.
Well, that's why I wrote the note, Teddy's a virgin, right?
Yeah, when he said, you want to see my car collection, that's when I knew he was a virgin. Yeah. 100%.
Well, then I wasn't really paying attention to this, why the scene ends. So he says, I've got duty to attend to. And to which I wrote, Teddy stops to go take a shit, I think. Not realizing he meant he had to go to work. And then I went, he meant he has to go to work. There's more.
So this is the scene where she says, get your tail down here.
Molly, Molly, Molly.
Ooh, you got it bad, don't you?
Hey!
My, aren't we just a tad Glando this evening?
Come on! I'm not a Glando, okay?
I see you dancing out in the street under the stars and flinging your tail around like you're a free guy.
Oh, Katie, you act like only humans fall in love. I can't understand you. Why do you keep your feelings all bottled up inside, huh? Huh? You know what you are? You are the classic ankylosaurus type. That's right. Tough exterior, but soft and gushy on the inside.
Get into the truck, Teddy. They want us at headquarters.
It sure looked like you cared for Sebastian back there. Am I right or wrong? Right? Wrong? Right.
Do me a favor. Don't tip, don't twirl, don't swirl. Just walk. Like a man. Well, do your best. Get in the truck.
He really is on coke. Now that I think about it, all the hallmarks of a cokehead. Like the incessant talking and jitteriness and then flying off the handle for no reason.
Who's more unstable? Is it Teddy or is it Elizabeth Berkley, Naomi from Showgirls?
Teddy.
Wow.
Teddy, man.
Wow.
Teddy. Teddy. Teddy.
Really?
Because here's the thing. Elizabeth Berkley comes across as very passionate. I'm just saying, in the day, in her day-to-day is a passionate. No, like,
passionate?
Let me put it this way. I'm passionate in this sense, right? She's very, like, manic, right? Like, oh, I'm happy! Oh, like, she's always riding that, like, the edge of emotion. The very far reaches. She's in the red on all of her emotions.
Right.
This dude is like, oh, I'm, like, a little nervous. I don't know, self-esteem. Why aren't you listening to me? Like, what?
Yeah, he does go 0 to 60.
He goes from, like, a little bitch ass to, like, really fucking aggressive, which is why when you said, I'm positive he hits women, I could see that.
All right. There's a lot of bad breath jokes. Technician is reconfigured. The butterfly explosive. We kind of figure out or find out Whoopi's a cyborg. There are more tail jokes. There's a lot of like, oh, this stinks in here, to which that's when we get the line, look, I didn't butt trumpet.
Yeah. Like as they walk. So first of all, outside of this place,
that's a dead storage.
A dead storage. So yeah. Apparently because dinosaurs have been brought back, people begin to believe, well, damn, the science to bring people back to life can't be that far behind. Don't ask me. Don't ask me how, like, that logic works. But this is what the people in this movie believe. So people start storing their dead people.
Right.
Like, when your loved ones die, you send them to, it's almost like a public storage, cold storage, whatever. So it's freezing in there, whatever. And at first, when they walk in, I thought I heard a noise that sounded like a fart. But I'm like, nah, man, that was probably something else. And then she says, oh, what did that smell? And he says, what? It's not me. It's this stuff. And I'm like, maybe he's right. Like, oh, there's something. I'm thinking like there's something nefarious about this dead storage. And it turns out, nope, he's actually farting the whole time. He's just farting the whole time. And every time denying it, using a different euphemism for fart. Butt trumpet, pop gas. Like, he just keeps doing it. I don't know who this is supposed to be funny for. I guess like 4-year-olds.
No, but this can't be a kids movie, right?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's over the top.
All right. There's a creature in a bag at the desk of the dead storage, which I wrote. Is this just a Beetlejuice knockoff?
I don't know.
They're looking for the toy maker. He says, I'm the guy from the bag. Some fuzzy caterpillar thing turns into a butterfly, leads them to something. Now the clone henchmen are in Teddy's place. They steal Molly, who was taking a bath, to which then we get another line.
In Teddy's place.
In Teddy's place, yes.
She never left. She just sat there and decided to take a bath.
He found a way to lock her in.
Theory. They fucked.
All right. Like that theory? No, I don't think he fucks.
I think he might
have. I think he has the makings of a cuckold.
Okay, let me yes, he does. But let me present to you this fully fleshed out theory. They fuck. He comes super quick, goes downstairs. That's why he's on cloud 9.
He's refractory.
Yes.
Oh.
And she's taking a bath because she got to clean up because that's like scary movie nut. Like he's lots of built up. Never.
That's millions of years worth.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tagline.
All right, now we get another. This stinks, and he says, "I didn't pop gas." The toy maker is the Rain bad guy from Big Trouble in Little China. He was also in The Golden Child.
He calls Whoopi a BioWare, so that's apparently
right
the name for what she is. But then he calls Teddy a dragon. He's clearly wrong. So maybe he's wrong.
He's up to date on some things and not so much in others. They come to him. He is apparently a black market arms dealer.
In techno kill circles, he's known as the toy maker.
Techno kills. They come to confront him on it. Now, mind you, Whoopi Goldberg is wearing the same thing she's worn the entire movie, which is her awkward skin tight police.
I will once again say Judge Dredd's.
With a badge, right? It's not just like, oh, it's some, she's dressed in black, whatever, with some military, like, or like with some paramilitary equipment on her belt and stuff. No, there's also a badge there. She references the badge at one point when they're talking about, like, her being a cyborg.
Can't do that in the elevator.
I didn't pop gas. Katie, I have an idea. What? I'll play a tough guy, you know, from the old movies.
Yeah, what about it?
Check it out. Watch this.
Is anybody home, sweetheart?
I believe this is our host.
What's my attitude here?
A BioWare. And a dragon.
That's Tyrannosaurus Rex, girly boy.
Welcome. Have some tea.
Are you the toy maker?
I've been called many things.
What is this, Kung Fu? I don't want to play games with you. We're here because...
We need a gun.
What? Headquarters doesn't supply you with weapons?
Yeah, they'll give us weapons, but they're too bleeping small. We got a problem with that.
What are you doing?
I'm here to buy a gun, okay?
You don't need to buy a gun.
Katie, I'm undercover here.
What?
Work with me!
I don't understand. First of all, the guy just said you guys are cops.
Right.
The little butterfly thing said you were cops before I introduced you. And she's wearing a fucking uniform! She is with you and she's wearing a goddamn uniform. How can you be undercover now?
Well, to which I'll add that there are some terrible impressions that, like, Teddy's like like changes his voice constantly, and then Whoopi at one point says to the toy maker, who by the way is Asian, "What is this, Kung Fu?" That's racist.
The impressions he goes through Arnold, Stallone, Jack Nicholson, because he talks all the fucking time nonsensically. He's just saying random things in these different people's voices. And they're ignoring him, by the way. Everyone's not paying attention to him because they figure he's just a little coked out spaz doing coked out spaz stuff. But so throughout this, the worst charade of being undercover, at the end of it, the toy maker's like, "All right, fine." He's like, "I need a really big gun because I'm a big guy." And so toy maker's like, "All right," pulls out like a comically oversized large gun. And then Teddy says, "Aha, the toy maker, you're under arrest." I'm like, "What are you doing?"
They tell him they can connect the device to the murdered dinosaur. He then drops a beetle bomb and escapes. Or does he? Because after the explosion, he's still there and Teddy knocks him out with his tail. Then they're interrogating him.
Oh my god!
And Teddy tries to like hurt him with his breath. She punches
him. He smiles when that happens. By the way,
right. He smiles. Teddy then sits on him and butt trumpets. Then he threatens to eat the toy maker, who then says that Edge bought the butterfly and he works for Kane.
How is this interrogation? Was my question. It's just how is this interrogation like? I believe the Geneva Convention classifies this as torture, but hey.
Does that apply to dinosaur cops?
In the future, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. He then says that there's a boy that's a hostage and Molly's a hostage too. How would he know that Molly's a hostage? I didn't understand that. To which then I wrote, is this the first plot hole in the movie? Then there's a chimp.
It's been airtight up until this point.
It's been airtight. Then there's like a chimp in the cage with the kid for some reason.
This is now, when I begin to like zone out.
Oh, I forgot this is all going to be new to you pretty soon. Blonde Tim Robbins then wants a cut of something from Kane. I don't know. To when he's hitting on the doctor and she says, "Are there any diseases that run in your family?" And he looks at her and goes, "Very big feet."
That's not a disease.
They like freeze him or glaze him. I don't know what the fuck they did.
Yeah, they glazed him already.
To make him look frozen, it appears that they smeared mashed potatoes all over his face.
Or cum.
I wish that was the last line of the pod.
Whoopi then tricks the clones or something. I don't know. I'm not really paying attention at this point. She's just going through the motions. Teddy swings and takes out the clones. Then they helicopter into the compound. They crash into Kane's main room. The clone gets killed. Whoopi gets captured. She breaks free and goes to find Sebastian. Kane is worried about Teddy as he comes to. Kane shows Teddy the missile and says he's going to bring a new ice age. Kane then launches the missile and shows all the animals he's bringing to the new world are frozen. Teddy sees that Molly's been frozen. Then, like, the worst gunfight of all time happens with Whoopi and the clones as she tries to save Sebastian. She takes down a bunch of the clones. Teddy knocks the doctor out before she can drug him. Now she's frozen, I guess. I don't know. Sebastian gets saved by Whoopi. He brings the chimp. The tail accidentally frees Molly.
Yeah, he tail whips the doctor into the freezing chamber, and then he's trying to hit the number pad to get Molly out, but then he just turns around and accidentally hits it with his tail, and it opens.
To which the keypad says, ouch. I don't know if you picked up on that, but the keypad says, ouch.
No way.
I swear to
Christ, no way.
I
mean, no
I
way.
Swear to God, go watch it again, the whole movie.
No, or go watch it, you mean.
Right. Ed shoots up Whoopi, and she short circuits. Whoopi then says to Teddy to use his brain to fix things. She calls him her partner. Teddy captures Kane as Edge drives into a wall and the car explodes, so I guess he's dead. He then pushes the button on the remote and the missile blows up in space. They're honoring Teddy in a very Star Wars-esque way.
Why does the guy want to kill everybody?
I don't know.
He wants to start his own new world where...
But was it just going to be him and the doctor? So he was just going to fuck the doctor? Okay, so that makes sense. He's just trying to get laid.
And then all the animals. He's trying to do Noah's Ark.
He's going to fuck the animals too?
Well, I mean, I don't put it past him.
I mean, he's designing them, so...
Here's my question, though. It's like, isn't everyone in the current state already sucking his dick? Like, he seems to be a very well-liked, well-respected dude.
Is this where we got Elon Musk from?
Is that what Elon Musk is trying to do?
Fuck dinosaurs?
Phil Mickelson?
Only you and I got that.
No one will get that joke.
That's a callback to when Amin and I were just trying to do golf puns today, Maze, on the radio. And Amin ran out and I ran out and he just says, Phil Mickelson. No pun, just named a golfer. Wow, what a deep, pointless cut that was.
And yet somehow more entertaining and well thought through than anything in this movie.
Now they're honoring Teddy. He's promoted to detective first class. There's another tail joke as he hits Richard Roundtree in the nuts. Teddy makes Whoopi his partner. And then, so he makes Whoopi his partner.
That's not how cops work.
That's not how cops work. And then it just, on the screen, instead of saying the end, it just says, see ya. And the credits roll.
And right before that, he quotes Casablanca.
This, again, going
you
back
to my fucking assholes.
Going to my point. There are bad movies, and then there are movies made by people who don't know what the fuck they're doing. Like, this was a movie made by people who did not know what they were doing.
Right. All right.
And a studio greenlit this. Jesus Christ.
You want some trivia on this thing?
Oh, yeah. Like, give me, yeah. Since we clearly don't have a Tony Medley.
No. Whoopi Goldberg made a verbal agreement to star in this movie in 1993. She then tried to back out of it, to which producer Richard Gilbert Abramson sued her for $20 million.
No fucking way.
The suit was settled very quickly when Whoopi agreed to star for $7 million, which was $2 million more than the original agreement.
Atta girl.
There's a little Stugatz in everybody.
Oh my God. Stugatz is so strong in her.
Crew members apparently left constantly during production. Whoopi once said that on her final day of shooting, 99% of the crew was different from the first day. Everybody wanted out. Whoopi Goldberg wanted to leave the film during production. Most of the actors signed on thinking the dinosaur would be computer enhanced.
Oh boy.
This is the first and only direct-to-video film to be nominated for a Razzie.
Wow, really?
And then Jonathan Batuul retired from directing after this film because he said the studio didn't market it correctly.
He should have retired from life.
I checked. He's alive. He's 71 years old. Shit. How did this get made? Did this movie?
Yeah.
So Maze dropped us a link to an oral history of this movie that was put together by Paul Scheer of How Did This Get Made? And I believe somebody else. What are the highlights from this oral history that you found, Maze?
All right, so there's a lot of quotes. So let's start with this settlement, this lawsuit, okay? So she agreed to make it, and this guy sued her, and the linchpin evidence was that he had an accidental recording of Whoopi agreeing to the project on an answering machine.
Oh, my God.
Where she said that she would do it.
Is that legal?
That was questioned, but it turned out to be he won in court, and then they settled. She said, don't ask me why I did it. I didn't want to. And then she said, maybe in 10 years, you and I can have a cup of coffee and laugh about this, but you've made my life a living hell, and I hate your fucking guts.
Nice.
It's the most expensive straight-to-video film ever. It was supposed to come out 4 days after she hosted the Academy Awards, but went straight to video.
They really thought they were going to capitalize on that.
And then we're going to enter producer Stefano Ferrari. All right, this guy. Though this movie is an E.T., I find it hard to believe that it wouldn't hold its own against All Dogs Go to Heaven 2 and the Disney reissue of Oliver and Company, said executive producer Stefano Ferrari, who invested $14 million of his family's pharmaceuticals fortune into his first major feature film and had to defend himself against 5 lawsuits filed in its wake.
Wow.
So this guy's paying all the bills. He's a 35-year-old son of a Italian pharmaceutical magnate. And he's also quoted as saying, my dad had actually cut me off years earlier because of my professional and lifestyle choices. At the time, I was living off my wife's modeling money and the residuals from an aerobics TV show I had made for Italian television. Batul, the director, I wanted Whoopi to carry the comic end to do what she does best. She favored the Clint Eastwood approach, a taciturn, less is more characterization. The script was rewritten to accommodate her with the dinosaur, as she hoped, as the star. Batul, I wanted to do something out there, you know, something completely unexpected. Things were starting to feel, I don't know, a little bit formulaic, and I had just sort of wanted to break the box a bit. I wanted to take something, maybe a familiar point of view, like a buddy cop movie, and shake it up in a way. All right, and then This guy stole the oral history for me. It's Bruce Lanoil, the head puppeteer who was the guy controlling Teddy Rex. What was Whoopi like? Well, let me tell you about my first day on set. So I'm there controlling the dinosaur, and I'm performing the hell out of the eye blink because the rest of the mechanics are busted. Here I am on the first day of my first feature film, and nothing's working, and they're just yelling at me to keep going. So Whoopi looks right at me, and she shouts, "Is this fucking thing gonna work?" She's staring right at me, and I just wither and say, "We're trying." And she goes, "It better." Then she storms off the set. So I go back to my little honey wagon. I don't know if you've ever been in one of those things, but it's just a toilet with a really stinky bed.
Christ.
And I'm in the fetal position saying to myself, "It's over. My career is over. I'm just going to go home to my wife and have to tell her what happened. Whoopi yelled at me, and I'm never going to work in any town or any planet known to man ever again."
This actually comes up with my favorite thing where this dude Walter says, "The biggest challenge with Theodore Rex was factoring the scale of the dinosaurs in this world. For example, here's a classic issue that came up a lot. Whoopi is a normal human height. She's 5'5". But our dinosaur was something like 10 feet tall, and he had this tail that was about 5 feet long. So when I'd start to lay out the plan for a set, I'd always have to factor in this tail radius of 5 feet so that he could turn around. If you didn't have that space, then he'd be knocking down a table every time he turned around. There were little things that you couldn't forget about. Like if a dinosaur was going to sit down, you had to design a chair with a hole in the back so the tail could go through it." To which then Jonathan... next quote is, "This was before CGI, so we were at the mercy of many things." Motherfucker, there was CGI in 1995.
Yeah, they also talk about how it's in the development since 89 to 95. Puppeteering died and CGI existed. And so they knew immediately that they were massively behind.
Guys, it's not like there was any movie using CGI that like did dinosaurs or anything like that.
No, that's true. That was, you know, Jurassic World doesn't come out for another 15 years, I think.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Lanoil, again, believe it or not, sometimes I still get, like, $1.27 for royalties on this movie. But then sometimes the royalty statement is negative, and I feel like someone's going to come to my house and take money away.
Wait, how does it get negative?
How can you get a negative royalty?
Is it every time you watch it on archive.org? Did we just cost this motherfucker money?
I hope so. Deserves. You owe me money.
Bruce Lanoil, again, it was just a cop buddy movie, right? Everyone understood the genre. But in this case, you had to ask, why? Why are they talking? Why are they dressed as humans? Why are they dying? Why are they not fighting back? Why doesn't he eat meat? Why does he want to live in an apartment? I mean, so many whys. Why does he wear a ring? Why is he driving in a car? And why is he with Whoopi Goldberg? And nobody could figure any of that out, and nobody has since.
Shout out to Bruce, man. Yes, Zach, he wears a ring and then he gives it to Molly.
I missed that.
When she was, yeah, right before he fucked her.
Bruce's last comment. Whoopi looked fantastic, though. She was in the best shape of her life. She was wearing this tight black stuff and she was sexy, man. She was absolutely just glowing and also pissed, of course.
That's very uncomfortable.
Stefano has my favorite line. Two dramatic events happened during this time of my life. One was T-Rex not coming out. The other was my dad passing at 58.
Yeah, so then Stefano had to go back to the pharmaceutical industry, and he took over the family business, and he says he's doing well. This was just his weird little sabbatical in Hollywood.
All right. What, it was a happy ending.
Wait, is he doing the pharmaceuticals, or is he doing well in pharmaceuticals?
The company is making money.
He hasn't killed himself. Okay, like that's a win.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he's got the Keith Richards gene.
All right. So, guys, Bulb or File? I mean,
yeah, like we talked about it in the chat, man. Congratulations, Ike. We will never take another Discord suggestion again.
It's gonna, we're just gonna have to have some rules.
No, there are no rules.
No, we've got to have some strict guidelines.
No,
what qualifies as a movie.
Here's a guideline: no more Discord suggestions, no more user suggestions.
Well, you can suggest movies all you want.
We're not going to listen to them.
Well, we might. We might add them to the list, Maze, right?
There's a list. I look at it sometimes.
So, Amin, that was a phobe?
Yeah, and by the way, Maze loses his pick. So next week I get the pick.
Wow, I don't know if that's the case.
Yes.
Maze?
Because Maze made it seem like we had to do this.
You said you wanted to do this. You said out of the list that this is the one you wanted to do.
No, don't flip this on me. You know, about the idea of that we have to pick a Discord pick. We have to have a week where the fans get to pick the movie. And that doesn't count towards anybody's tally. That's your idea. That was your... You said that. You opened that door, so that's why this is your pick now.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that.
Amin always comes out of nowhere just telling people they can't make picks. He did this to you 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, Amin's trying to take away picks like he's fucking Rob Manfred. Like, what are you doing?
No, this is like 100 times worse than the Astros. I had to watch that shit, man. Come on.
All right, Maze, Fover File.
Hold on, just receipts here. Amin El-Hassan, Theodore Rex has all the makings of a classic.
That was after you said we had to take a Discord pick.
Phobe.
All right, I want to try to be fair here.
No, you don't.
Zach, just so you know, you filed the last four movies in a row, all right? You need to slow down.
Did I? Wait, what were the last four movies?
Battlefield Earth, file.
Stand by it.
Fred Claus, file. Stand Six by. Underground, file. Geely, file.
Stand by it. I want to really break this down because there are some moments that are worth seeing.
No.
There are some moments that are entertaining. Like, we all laughed at Butt Trumpet, right?
No,
we're all laughing at how virginistic and coked out this guy is. Like, there are moments in this where we're gaining entertainment from it. Right? We didn't have to pay for it.
That was good. Although, I'm a little bummed that we don't own one of the 20 copies in the world.
I mean, look, I know you're just going to think I'm trying to be difficult here, but...
Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
Look, I have to judge these things on whether or not I think people should see this movie, right? At least once. Or whether if it was on TV for some reason, I would flip it on and see.
It's never going to be on TV. Let me just help you out right there.
All right, not even I can do this. It's a phobe. I really wanted to. I really wanted to. I worried my credibility would be knocked down.